What's going on this morning, Tim?
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing well. You up early?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Enjoying this Arizona easy bake oven.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's going to be a little warm out there, I'm sure, for the game tomorrow afternoon. Hey, you have a lot of guys on your team who have NCAA tournament experience. How much do you feel like that'll help you as you get things started tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we play 24 postseason games with this group, so I think it should help somewhat, and probably help, too, that we've already been out here before. It's a venue that we're familiar with. We've already played three games. We started the season here, so that will be good. But I don't think they'll get spooked by anything now. I mean, they're just older. They've had a lot of at-bats, and only group that's young is the pitchers. But the position players have been around this a couple times.
Joe Fisher was telling us this morning, he's talking to a couple of the guys on the plane out there as they were, you're coming in over the stadium at Arizona State yesterday. They didn't think they'd be back out there for more games this season. That has to be kind of strange to, continue your postseason where you started the regular season.
It is. I mean, I thought it was the last play. Actually, we were going to Miami, at 7:30 in the morning, that Monday morning. Then they made a switch on us because they didn't think the RPIs were balanced. So we go out to Arizona State, and the guy on the committee, Pat Murphy, who my daughter is the baseball operations director with out here, thought there was no way that we were coming out here, and it was probably the last place everyone thought we'd be. But, we're here, and so be it. It's a tough field, with Oklahoma and Arizona State and then Stony Brook, but if you're going to be the best, you got to beat some of the best teams to get there. So that's the way it's going to be.
Timmy, you're not afraid to think outside the box. I love who you brought in for the pep talk here.
How about that one? Right off of hip surgery, he did a good job.
And for the people who don't know, Terry Crisp, Nashville Predators analyst, former Stanley Cup champion coach.
Yeah, he did a good job until the second story. He told the kids about some guy who went out all night and drank and then scored 4 or 5 goals. That just killed me. My kids were laughing inside, too. They knew I would hate that story.
Yeah, don't get any ideas about that one, guys.
Timmy, a year ago, you guys were sort of, I don't want to say burdened, but you were definitely the lead dog. You were the favorite. Is there more of an underdog mentality, the way you guys got there, the five-game losing streak and just sort of having to piece it together at the end of this season?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it was a lot different last year. We didn't have any hiccups the whole time. I mean, we won 50-something games, and, we were home. And kind of like LSU, where we had won the regular season, we won the SEC tournament, and we were riding high. And I think when we were home, there was just there were no excuses. I mean, you gotta win, but a lot of distractions. I mean, it was the first time we hosted a regional, and families coming in, getting tickets, doing this, doing that. Now we're just on a plane to Arizona, just 25 guys and coaches, and no distractions, and we're together. We were in the lobby last night, all of us just kind of all huddled up, talking for a half hour. I enjoyed that. So we embrace the underdog role right now. We have to, because that's where we are. But we're still a good team, and we've done a lot of nice things, albeit we've had a lot of people injured and banged up. But, I think sometimes when you get hit with all those thunderbolts during the year, they have a way of helping you out. So I'm hoping that's the case out here.
Do you feel better about your pitching staff today than you did a week ago?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think the biggest issue is going to be the starting pitching, getting us into the sixth, seventh inning, particularly in a double elimination tournament. I mean, last week it hurt us a little bit because, if you're in the winner's bracket, you play 4. If you're in the loser's bracket, you got to play 6. Here, if you stay in the winner's bracket, you can win this thing in 3. If you come out of the loser's bracket like we did last year, you can win it in 5. But our starting pitching has to take us a step further. Our relief pitching is not bad. I mean, it bodes well for the next couple of years because all these kids come back. But, like I told them last night, this is your time. You got to pitch now, and you just got to execute your pitches. So I feel good about it. I really do. And that's not just something I'm saying just to make myself feel better. I do. I feel like it's a quality pitching staff. We got a lot in numbers.
How much do you have to put together a game plan for a tournament like this in terms of handling your pitchers? Because, some of it you can plan for, but then you don't really know how it's going to go. Last week in the SEC tournament, how you're going to have to use different guys, to get the innings that it takes to win these games.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is you just got to take it one step at a time. I mean, we're going to throw Caleb Cotham the first game because he's a good matchup for this Oklahoma team we're going to play. And as I told the kids, it really doesn't matter what you throw for a pitch. You just got to execute where you want to put it, because you can't fool anyone 56, 60 games into the season. I mean, everyone's seen velocity. Everyone has turned around to 92, 93 mile an hour fastball. I think this time of year, you better have a third pitch and you better be able to throw it for a strike. And if you can't, you're going to get drilled, because you know, there's been too many teams, especially in the postseason, that have played too many games against quality pitching. But I think what we've got to do is just ride Caleb out a little bit. He's a good matchup for this Oklahoma team. And we get by these guys, then we can move on and see what we've got next.
Coach, this morning in the paper, there was a little article about Sonny Gray basically saying that, writing a letter to Major League Baseball to say, don't draft me. I'm committed to Vanderbilt. This is what I want to do. And they said to seal the deal after your Vandy, Georgia series. As a coach, is that kind of something, a weight off your shoulders, I guess, when you got a highly touted prospect that if someone dangles enough money that they, you might lose a player? So does that make you kind of sleep a little better at night hearing that?
It does, Frank. I mean, that's the toughest thing about recruiting at the, you know, at the college level. If you deal with these high-profile players, you got a chance to lose them. And I think that's where the Vanderbilt thing comes in a little bit, because a lot of kids have spurned the draft, like Pedro and David Price and now Sonny, which is a big deal for us, because he's a kid that automatically comes in and gives us a shot in the arm. I mean, he's a very good athlete. He can play a lot of positions, but he took a stance on what he wanted to do, and I've personally, I've been recruiting that kid since the 10th grade. You know, legally, I've been watching him play and going back and forth through emails and so on. But he's a special kid. But I think what we've done is we've provided him with a kind of a model of what's happened with kids who have maybe turn down the high rounds and the opportunity to be drafted high and then come to school and then see good things come from that. And, you know, I ask David Price and Pedro and some of these kids all the time. I said, is this a good decision? I said, please tell me. And, you know, they always say it'll always be the best decision I ever make. And Sonny is he's just one of those kids. He enjoys winning. He enjoys teams. It just gives people from Smyrna a chance to see him for the next 3 or 4 years. And I'm very excited to be able to coach him and a couple of these kids that we're going to have to, you know, kind of grip to just make sure that they get here.
Is he going to definitely pitch for you? Or you mentioned that he can play, he obviously can hit the baseball, but is he in the rotation as far as you're concerned, or is you still maybe thinking about and moving him elsewhere?
He's definitely a guy that fits somewhere. He's either a starter or a closer. I mean, that arm is hard to look past. I mean, he's got a very good arm with a knee buckle breaking ball. It might be the best breaking ball we've ever seen, you know, at this level. But the thing he does, he's got a lot of energy and he's got charisma, and you know, you just don't want to leave a guy on the bench
right.
like that. I mean, he can play the outfield. He can do anything. I mean, he's that type of guy, and he's just an athlete. And you don't want those guys on the bench, because they usually bug you if they're on the bench. So you want to get them out there and let them play for you. And I think the kid, he can do a lot. The guy's won a lot of games as a football player and as a baseball player.
So you've been recruiting him legally since he was in 10th grade. So you're not like Billy Gillespie, the basketball coach of Kentucky. You're not going to playgrounds checking out wiffle ball games, for kids 10 years old then, right?
No, I'm not doing that. But if you've ever come to one of our games, Delos's brother, Matt, is 4 years old, and I'm telling you, he's a phenom. I've never seen anything like it. It's sick. He hits balls out of his hand like he's an 18-year-old kid. I'm recruiting him. I've already got a commitment.
Well, that's smart. Timmy, obviously.
Recruit him with a PB&J.
Exactly.
Did he sign his name in crayon?
PB&J and a box of Crayolas, and I think you got him. Timmy, you start out with Oklahoma, and it looks like the book on them is you want to get into their pen.
I think so. I mean, we're facing a guy who Shea Robin caught all summer up in the Cape Cod League, so we're going to know something about him. But we do. He's a right-handed kid. I think we can hopefully have good success against them, but we do need to get in their bullpen. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a weakness for them. Hitting-wise, they're a pretty good team. They've had some good wins here at the end of the year, and they've hit .315 as a club. But I'm anxious really to see them, because it's a tough thing to gauge, because we haven't seen them on TV, and we've got, you know, information, but you don't know how good it is. But this will definitely be a good game for us.
That's a good hitter's park, isn't it, out there? And, you know, maybe with the hot conditions, that probably helps the offense?
No, yeah. I mean, the fences don't look that far away from home plate, and that ball carries pretty well. I just hope we're on the upside of those things rather than the downside.
Hey, Tim, good luck tomorrow. We appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it as well. You take care.
Thanks,
all right,
Tim.
You too.